represents an electron that has a fairly definite momentum, but whose position is highly uncertain. More typical electrons, like those in atoms or molecules, have neither a definite position nor momentum. Physicists continued to wrangle over the interpretation of quantum mechanics for years after they had become used to solving the Schrödinger equation. Einstein was unusual in rejecting quantum mechanics in his work. Most physicists were simply trying to understand it. Much of this debate went on at the University Institute for Theoretical Physics in Copenhagen, under the guidance of Niels Bohr. I had the good fortune to meet Bohr, though near the end of his career and the beginning of mine. Bohr was my host when I went for my first year of graduate studies to his institute in Copenhagen. However, we spoke only briefly, and I took away no words of wisdom. Bohr was a famous mumbler, and it was always hard to tell what he meant. I remember the horrified look on my wife's face when Bohr spoke to her at length at a party in the conservatory of his house, and she realized that she was missing everything that the great man was saying. Bohr focused particularly on a peculiar feature of quantum mechanics that he called complementarity. Knowledge of one aspect of a system precludes knowledge of certain other aspects of the system. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle provides one example of complementarity. Knowledge of a particle's position, or momentum, precludes knowledge of the particle's momentum, or position. In later years, Bohr emphasized the importance of complementarity for matters far removed from physics. There is a story that Bohr was once asked in German, "What is the quality that is complementarity to truth?" Wahrheit. After some thought, he answered, "Clarity. Klarheit." I have felt the force of this remark in writing the present chapter. By around 1930, the discussions at Bohr's Institute had led to an orthodox Copenhagen formulation of quantum mechanics, in terms that were now much more general than the wave mechanics of single electrons. Whether a system consists of one or more particles, its state at any moment is described by a list of numbers known as the values of the wave function, one number corresponding to each possible configuration of the system. The same state may be described by giving the values of the wave function for configurations that are characterized in various different ways, for instance, by the position of all the particles of the system, or by the momenta of all the particles of the system, or in various other ways, though not by the positions and the momenta of all the particles. The essence of the Copenhagen interpretation is a sharp separation between the system itself and the apparatus used to measure its configuration. As Max Born had emphasized,